Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? When Jesus ran them out with a whip, he said he called it a house of prayer, didn't he? Wasn't that a good message this morning about prayer? I was sitting back there in the back listening to Brother Anthony this morning and thinking he is preaching exactly what I was going to talk on. So I went to him, I told him, I said, you didn't preach what I was going to talk on. He said, talk about it anyways. So here we go. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. And prayer is simply a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. Prayer is simply just communication between you and God. How long do you think your marriage would last if you went a day and didn't even speak to your wife? Or half a day, you know, wouldn't go good with it. That's the same way it is with God. God just wants to communicate with us, you know. I'm going to start here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. In this chapter right here, I like to call it the prayers and the slayers. Because you got two different descendants here. You got Cain's descendants and you got descendants of Seth. Verse 25 says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Prayer is so important that God created an entire lineage for men to call upon him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So that tells me if they're teaching them to pray right here, there's a right way and a wrong way to pray. Amen? If you go to Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 8, this is the wrong way to pray. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Amen? So he's teaching right here. We make prayer so stressful sometimes. We think we got to talk these big elaborate words and make it all complicated, but it's just simply communicating with God, you know, telling God how good He is and what we need. I know I'm jumping around. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 11, verse 2 here. He's teaching them how to pray right here. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Notice the order in this prayer now. First he praises God. Then he makes his request known. You know, we don't even walk before a judge, a mortal man, without showing respect and appreciation, you know, in a courtroom. You get thrown out. So how much more should we come before the presence of the Almighty, you know, with praise and thankfulness of heart? In verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. God's provisions are daily. He wants a daily prayer. God's provisions are daily, not once and for all. We can't store it up and then cut off communication with God. It's a daily process that we need. We need this for strength in ourselves. If you find yourself weak, check out your prayer life. When's the last time you prayed? In verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he made forgiveness the cornerstone of the relationship with God on a daily basis. So anytime we pray, we should thank him for grace. Verse 5 through 8, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his persistence, will he rise up. Not just because he's your friend. Hey man, I need some bread. This might be a little comical. Go away, I'm in bed already. You don't understand. I got somebody coming over and I need some bread. Go away. Come back tomorrow. You don't understand. Persistence is what gets a prayer answered. Persistence. If you have an unanswered prayer, check out your persistence. Verse 9 through 10. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Another key part in getting your prayer answered is having faith and belief in the Word of God, that it will not fail. If he spoke it, it has to be. Keep the faith. Go with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God will remember you. He will remember your prayers. He will remember your deeds. Now let's jump around to Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. This is a very familiar scripture. To everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. And to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season. And to every purpose under the heaven. Just as your life has seasons, your prayer life also will have seasons. I've seen times in my life where I felt like I couldn't knock the dust off of a leaf with my prayers. But there's been other times when I prayed and God showed up in a mighty way. You know, some personal experiences for me. When I was a kid, I jumped out of a tree and hurt my ankle, and we didn't have a lot of money. Couldn't go to the doctor, and man, I hobbled around on that thing for weeks. And I don't know if it was broke or just badly sprained, but it bothered me from then on. Even when I was grown and had a job and I was having to stand on concrete all day long. And I got up one morning, it was bothering me really bad. And I walked to the table and I sat down and I was eating my breakfast. And the Bible just happened to be laying there and I just flipped it open. Don't even remember what scripture I read, but I read a scripture and I prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, would you touch my foot? And instantly, the pain went away. Instantly. I know God can move. Me and my wife was involved in an accident one time where we hit another car almost head on. They run a red light or we run a red light. Somebody run a red light. Anyways, a few days before that, she prayed over a little prayer cloth and put it under my seat. Me and her both were ejected out of the vehicle. She came out my door. I was driving. And she was kind of knocked unconscious when the paramedics got there. They thought that she was the only one that was thrown out. And when I told them that I was thrown out, that I was actually the one driving, they grabbed me and fastened me down and everything. You know, I said, you know, I got flu. They slung me way up the road here. I had road rash on my back and elbows and everything. But the paramedic said, I don't see many accidents where people are ejected out of the vehicle and live. So I know God showed up, and it was through the prayers of my wife. One of the hardest things you'll face in your lifetime is losing a child. And my two sons shouldn't be here. But my wife, she anointed her belly every morning with oil. And she quoted a scripture, you shall live and not die. The enemy still tried to take it, but because of my wife's prayers, because of my prayers, my sons live today. God is in control. I remember another time in my life when I had a spot on my neck right here. It was a little skin tag. Had been there forever. But that thing started growing and changing colors and got my attention. And I remember just saying the simplest prayer. And about a week and a half, I was always reaching it and feeling of it. You know, I reached up and touched it about a week and a half later, and that thing fell off in my hand. You know, there's nothing too big for God. Nothing too big. We limit Him so much. You know, the enemy, just because your prayer's not answered right away, he likes to make you think that God's not going to show up for you. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. There was war with the enemy. Tried to prevent them from getting back to Daniel with the word. And no doubt, it's still in effect today. The enemy still tries to fight. There's three different times that I can recall in the Bible, just off the top of my head, that the devil lost. One, he got kicked out of heaven. The second time he came and fought for the body of Moses, he got whipped again. And also here with Daniel, Michael did his job again and came out and whipped him again. So he'll never be able to overpower God, and in doing so, knowing that God has all power above heaven and earth, he has control of our life. Don't allow the enemy or seasons in your life to place doubt in your prayers. God heard you the very first time. Brother Andy, that's all I have.
So, Lord, praise the Lord. Sitting here listening to you bring that message. And I don't think I'm probably a whole lot different than everybody in this room. Do you remember a time when you prayed that prayer? Do you remember a time when you was calling on the Lord, he answered that prayer? Prayer works. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I remember a time when my kid was in a car. And I'm kind of going back to my testimony again. I'm not trying to preach your message, Brother Stephen, but just kind of talking about that power again. All that power. There's power in the prayer. There's power in serving God. I talked about how the power of that big locomotive was shaking under me. We hadn't touched the surface yet. But I do remember a time when I was going down the highway in a car, and I called on the name of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord filled that car. I believe each and every one of us here can say that we've felt that power of prayer, just as Stephen has talked to us about tonight. Lisa, would you come to the piano? Let's just all come to the altar, and let's just pray to the Lord. I believe each and every one of us knows what Stephen's talking about tonight, prayer and the power that it has. And we need that prayer. And just as Stephen went and knocked on the door, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if we give up a little too early, what have we lost? Can we knock one more time? Can we pray one more time? Can we seek just a little bit more? Let's just find us a place. Everybody that will, come to the altar, and let's just seek the Lord for a few minutes.